On their own shared mounts, the other companions were finding that they, too, were feeling their exhaustion. Christy kept herself awake by sheer willpower, not trusting herself to doze off while she had to ride behind the fat man. For his part, Jana was trying to make amends for his earlier attitude by keeping up a non-stop stream of banalities.
Look, I'm really sorry about earlier. I just got carried away. You know what it's like in the heat of battle. You kind of find it hard to switch off and get back to being normal. Whatever the fuck that is, you know. But I don't want us to have got off on the wrong foot. Ethan wouldn't like that. And he's not the kind of dude you screw with, you know what I'm saying? It's not that he's a bad guy, and he's a great baron, right? But you don't want to get on the wrong side of him, you know? That's just bad news for everyone involved, right? Hey, you listening?
Look, apology accepted, and I don't care about the rest right now. Just keep your eyes on the path ahead and keep riding, okay?
Jono pursed his lips. No one talked to him like that. He would bide his time, but she would pay. JB and Mildred were seated behind riders who said nothing beyond initial hellos. They were glad of it. The last thing they needed was to have to concentrate on conversation after the battle. Particularly Mildred, who was sure that she would throw up if the ride was any more rocky. Doc was behind a large, heavily muscled rider with an ebony skin that seemed to shine in the moonlight. The old man could feel he was slipping. Nothing seemed real anymore. A man who had lived his life over three different centuries, with large chunks removed between them. Doc's grasp of reality was always a little loose, and now he was sure that he had descended into madness. In the distance, riding toward him, he could see a brougham driven by his beloved Emily, the wife he had left behind in the 19th century, and who would never have known what happened to him. Just that he vanished one day without a trace, and forever. Perhaps it was better that she didn't know. That she could never see him as he was now, aged and beaten by the fates. God, but he missed her. And here she was, driving toward them. Seated beside her, he could see Rachel and young Jolyon, the children he had never seen grown to maturity, and who had been dead for longer than he could know. Longer, indeed, than he had been alive. How could a father so outlive his children? It wasn't natural. But then, what was natural had little to do with Doc's life. They couldn't see him like this. They couldn't. He turned his head away from them as they approached, tears streaming down his face, his body shuddering in convulsive sobs. The rider of the horse looked at him worriedly.
Hey, you okay, man?
Doc didn't answer. It took all his effort not to turn to look at his wife and children as he heard the brougham approach, gaining with every second. If he could just wait until the sound was on the wane. If he could only keep his will intact for that long, then surely his sanity would also follow. It was no good. As the brougham approached, he felt compelled to turn. As the vehicle passed him, he could see Emily, Rachel, and Jolyon turn to look at him. They were the ages they had been when he had last seen them, but changed. Their eyes were empty, and their skins were dry and mummified. They were husks, as he himself was now. Doc looked away, crying out in pain and rage. Uncomfortable, the rider in front of him tried to keep his eyes fixed on the path ahead. He didn't know what the crazy old guy was seeing, but he was the only one who was. The other riders exchanged glances and shrugs. If they were expecting any of the companions riding with him to explain, they would wait in vain. Jack had questions of his own. He was riding behind a wide, fat-bellied bald man whose apparent bulk wasn't just due to excess weight. Underneath, there was a lot of muscle, as Jack had found when he had almost fallen from the horse early in the journey, the horse stumbling in a rut and throwing both riders forward. The bald man had moved with the motion, but Jack had been taken unawares and almost thrown. As he toppled, the man had shot out an arm and grabbed Jack. Jack had expected soft flesh when he gripped the man's arm. Instead, he felt muscles and tendons that were like steel cable wrapped around brick.
Thanks.
No problem. Name's Stark.
Both were men of few words, but had found unspoken respect for each other in that moment. Since then, they had conducted a drawn-out, easy conversation that reflected the casual, understated rhythms of both men. Neither had passed comment on Doc, but Jack chose that moment to ask what he felt was an important question.
Why you hunt stickies?
Stark waited for some time before answering.
Like Ethan said.
So why follow so far when they move on? No sense if they not cause damage. Waste of energy and ammo.
Maybe. But like I say, it's as Ethan says.
Jack pondered this. There was a coded message in there, if only he could unlock it. His keen senses were jangling with the rush he always felt when there was danger ahead. It wasn't like Christie's mutie psychic abilities. It was simply a well-honed survival instinct.
Ethan always tell how it is?
Ethan always tells it how he sees it.
Jack considered that. Stark picked his words very carefully, but he hadn't actually agreed with what Jack had said. Their conversation lapsed. The pauses lengthened into silence as they rode on through a night that was now approaching dawn. The other companions were having trouble staying awake, as fatigue and lack of sleep took their toll. But Jack had the hunter's patient skill of maintaining coiled alertness. And he noticed something very strange, something that triggered internal alarms. As the mounted party traversed the trail ripped up by the Stickies, Pleasantville became visible in the distance. A shattered metropolis lay beyond, remnants of old skyscrapers and buildings dimly visible in the early morning haze. But the ville itself seemed to have been constructed in an old suburban area. It was still too dim for him to fully distinguish, even though his red albino eyes found the twilight of evening and dawn more facilitative than the bright light of a daytime sun. If what Ethan had told them was the whole truth, there was something here that made no sense. For to reach the ville, the riders now left the track that had been carved by the pack of Stickies, a track that veered off to one side of the farthest extension of the ville, past the last buildings and signs of life that Jack could see. They had been told that the pack had attacked farms on the edge of the ville, which was why they had been chased. But the track, clearly visible because of the devastation it had caused, veered off way past the last sign of tilled land, cutting across an area that could only be described as wilderness. It looked as though the Stickies had passed close to the ville, but hadn't actually made contact. So why mount the chase at all? They were riding into a danger of some kind, of that Jack was certain. As he cast a glance at the rest of the companions, tired and battered on the backs of their mounts, in no condition to fight, he was concerned that they were riding into trouble when they were least capable of dealing with it. The ground was now softer underfoot, less rutted and destroyed. Jack wondered if any of the others had noticed that they had left the Stickies' path and that it deviated from the ville. Why had they been lied to? Why had the Stickies been hunted so ruthlessly? Was that what had whipped them into a frenzy? Or had something else happened to make them that way? Jack felt fatigue and exhaustion sweep over him as well, making it hard to concentrate. Whatever faced them, he needed to sleep first. He had no choice.